It is so good to see each and every one of you here today. And I want you to pause for just a moment. I want you to think about this. How many of you are glad to know that you can come into this house of worship? And we have the privilege of honoring Jesus Christ, and it's not illegal. This is not illegal. And occasionally, I want to remind you, I'm not sure how much everything's going to change, and I'm not one of these prophets of gloom or doom. But I do want to awake you to this. This is a privilege. This doesn't go on everywhere in the world. Some places it would be illegal to gather in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to discuss why that is. You know, it's interesting to me that when people want to take over a country, when people want to control other people, they always take out Christianity. You know, it's amazing to me that they never go after any other religious system. Isn't it interesting? But they'll always come after Christianity, and here's why. Because those who follow Christ will be freed. Yep. And you cannot be free and under control at the same time. And so I want you to be checking today, how many of you are living under control of many other things instead of living out the freedom that's already in you through Christ Jesus? And so let's just pray that we hear that today, okay? That we'd be able to listen to this, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for every person that's gathered. Lord, I thank you for healings and protections and grace and truth. And God, I thank you that your blessings are on this place. And so, Lord, I just pray you open us up that we might hear what we need to hear. God, I'm thankful for these young people. I thank you for the ones that are sitting here. I thank you for the ones that are headed to New Orleans. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And so I don't know anybody to agree with me today that we might have an awakening to how God wants to use us. Anybody would agree with me in prayer, we might have an awakening today. Do I got any agreement? Okay, I got a couple people. All right, good deal. Amen. So here's what we're going to talk about today. I want to encourage you, if you're going to claim the name of Jesus Christ, I want to be clear on this. This is a dangerous thing. Because once you enter into baptism and once you say, you know what, Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow you, you have become different. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do some of the same things you used to do, but you have become different. Does that make sense? People ask me all the time, Pastor Steve, how do I know I've been saved? Here's the best way I can indicate salvation. I can no longer sin comfortably. How many of y'all found that to be the fact? If I get out of order, something inside me goes, burr, burr. And I don't know about y'all, but I didn't have that something before. Before, if I really ticked you off, I really didn't care. Now, if I think I've hurt your feelings, that may take a couple days, but I will get back to you on that. Honey, I said it'd take a couple days. I want relationships to be different than they used to be. Now, I really want you to think about this. I want you to understand what has happened to you. Because I really do believe this. Here's what I'm proposing to you all as a church. We've done enough. We've done enough. And we've missed the boat because we've done too much. Now hear me. We are thoroughly convinced that there's some activity out there that's going to change the world. In my short lifetime, I would propose to you and argue fervently that religious activity does not cause change. Because not much has changed. I mean, we've piled into coliseums. We've had mass revivals. We've done all this religious activity. I think the next wave of movement for us as followers of Jesus Christ is we need to become. We need to become what Christ has made us in our everyday affairs. And I believe that would bear more witness than 10,000 bumper stickers and 4 zillion Christian radio stations. I think we need to become who we really are in Christ. And so our attitude, watch this, our attitude is as important as our activity. How many of y'all will agree with that? Because guess what? You watch this. You don't do holiness. You become. Watch this. You don't do marriage. How many of y'all do marriage? How many of y'all going like this? Well, I'm having a marriage. Boy, there's a delight. How many of y'all found this? You become married. Now, some of you all have gotten engaged. I hear these rumors. Okay, now watch. You're going to become engaged. I remember when Elizabeth and I got engaged. This is a long time ago. In an ancient world. A world without email. Can you all imagine this world? A world without texting. Ancient world. A world. You ready for this? Where MTV actually had music videos. Yeah. It's the world. Billy Lowe, you were in that same world. Yeah. And you know what? I became with Elizabeth. I didn't look at her and say, let's do an engagement. I said, let's get engaged. Then I said these crazy words. I said, let's get married. Now watch this. I said that and had absolutely no idea what that meant. How many of you guys, when you got married, when you said, I do, you were clueless. You know now, 5 years later, you were clueless to what you confessed on that altar. Because I became, which is, one day I woke up and I became a parent. Elizabeth said we were driving down the road and she had some stomach problems while we were driving down the road. And she had ridden with me all my driving career. She said, it's the way you're driving. I said, it's not the way I'm driving. I said, I have rung the bell. I said, you are pregnant, girl. And Elizabeth went into immediate denial. I am not. And so as I did, we went to the drugstore and she got one of those little tests. And she came back and she said, look, the top was pink, remember? She said, it's not this pink. I said, if it's pink, it's on. And all of a sudden, we were becoming parents. You become a student. You become. Now, here's what I want to challenge us today. What are we becoming in Christ? We are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know some things that have happened to you. All of your sin is forgiven. Compliments of Jesus Christ. You are a citizen. You ought to rejoice in that. I think that's good news. If you were a sinner like me, that's great news. Now, I want to go over some things. Guess what? You're a citizen of heaven. Amen. You need to tell somebody, I do live in heaven. Tell them that. Come on, tell somebody. You live in heaven, just not much. If you're like me, you live in heaven, but not much. But you guess what? I'm going to encourage us to live a little more of heaven's attitude here on earth. You got where we're going today? Now, here's what I want you to know. I believe God's in charge. And I'm going to ask you to do something as a church. I don't want you all to panic because times are going to get difficult. And I'm going to be real truthful. Times are going to get difficult. And you know what? Here may be the thing. You know what I think is going to happen? The real church is going to show up. I think the Barney church is going to dissolve because the Barney church won't hold up in tough times. You know, this, you love me, I love you, we're just going to dance and sing kumbaya, and we're going to disregard every principle of God and expect the blessing of God. Now, those are a bunch of preachers, and I'm going to call them out. They have lied to you. You cannot disobey what God has said and expect God's blessing to move forth. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not surprised. You know what I'm surprised about? That our economy has held up this long. Amen. You see, you can't build an economy against biblical principles and expect heaven to fall. We owe everybody something. all of our nation has embraced debt that is unbiblical in its proportion. So we had people run around, they're all excited. They go, I got $600 from President Bush. No, you didn't. You got $600 from China. You look at your little check, made in China. So you know what you did? You became $600 more subject to the lender than you were in December. And so here's the problem. Here's what the Bible teaches you over in Proverbs. The debtor will be subject to the lender. Well, when you build an economy on the debtor-lender principle, somebody's going to call the note sometime. And guess what's happening now in a global way? The note is being called. So guess what? We're going to have to toughen up. We're going to have to embrace. We're going to have to realize we may not have all the stuff we didn't need in the first place. Do you hear how I said that? Let me ask you a question. Can we survive without a sonic toothbrush? You can use a manual toothbrush. Now guess what? There's some people in here, they'll blow you away. Anybody in here remember riding in a car without an air conditioner? How many of y'all never remember a car without an air conditioner? How many of y'all, every time you've been in a car since you've been born, there's been an air conditioner? Raise your hand. There's been air conditioning. There's a lot more. Y'all are soft. Watch this. I'm talking about there used to be cars with no air conditioners. I'm talking about not that you didn't turn it on. I'm talking about it wasn't available to turn on. You had two windows down. I remember when I was a kid, man, my grandparents lived in Meridian, Mississippi. You know how humid it is right now today? Times that by 100 in Meridian, Mississippi. And guess what our parents did? They put us in a station wagon, which was the old-timey minivan. How many of y'all have been in a station wagon at least one on a summer vacation? Hello? What's this? They put us in this station wagon. They did not make us wear our seat belts. We played in the back of the station wagon, drove 70 miles an hour with leaded gasoline. Two windows down, and we did not stop at a fast food restaurant for lunch. We went by the gas station, and if you were lucky, you got a cold drink and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If, and only if, you had not picked on your brothers and sisters whatsoever for the first 4.5 hours of the trip, only on vacation, you might get a 25-cent package of Frito-Lay corn chips. And that's a big deal. Here's what I'm trying to show you guys. Listen, we have survived. But I want to show you some things that life is not about survival. It's about living. And church, I'm not going to compromise here because it's the Word of God. And no matter what you all do, these are the attitudes that may, it must be among you. Even if you're young and cool, these have got to start in you now and they're going to flower out of you later. You're going to bloom. Now, I know God's going to do something with this church because He's already been using this church. But we got to make sure we keep our attitude. How in the world do you serve God? Well, guess what? You have the same attitude He is. You have His likeness. And I want to just go over some things today, okay? First thing is this. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Difficult time. Changing time in Roman culture. Political system changing. People changing. Ideology changing. Thought process changing. And here's the word of the Lord to the people who follow Christ. You ready? Finally, There's some finely things. How many of y'all got some finely things? Finally, I'm going to get down to it, he says. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you need to learn to respect people that disagree with you. How many of you understand that? I mean, this is what, watch this. I love a lot of people that I don't agree with. Elizabeth and my children and my dad and my mom. And I don't always agree with those people. But we got to have respect no matter what we do. Is this making sense? Fainter, in my opinion, you know why nobody wants to listen to Christian people in America? They're arrogant, bigoted, and disrespectful. They're not scared of them. They're not scared at all. Because guess what? We hadn't done anything scary. All we've done is preach to them. We have not lived among them in a Christ-like way. See, guess what? The church has got to be in harmony. And what did churches decide to do? Fight and fuss and nitpick and that blast God's witness. Now, I want to thank you all here at Hillview. Y'all are a good bunch of folks. I mean, we're not a church without fighting, but we know how to fight properly. Is that cool? No, well, you got to fight properly. Come on, you got to get honest. Watch this. In a church like ours, is everybody going to like everybody? No. Don't even expect. I mean, if you're here visiting today going, how am I going to like all these people? You're not. And by the way, all of us aren't going to like you. But we don't come to church to like one another. We come to church to fall madly in love with Jesus. And in that, we begin to love one another. You see, here's the problem. The devil sold us a bill of goods. He said we ought to like each other. Because that's all he can do. God said, I'm going to love you. Beyond your understanding. Now, only Jesus can do that. Don't fall short. Now look what he says for us to do. Live in harmony with one another. Now guess what this means? We are all different. I'm going to preach just a minute. Ladies, I want you to know that I'm on your side. And I want you to hear this. I personally think the women's liberation movement was some of the stupidest arguments in the world I've heard coming out of the movement. Now before you stone me, listen. I am all for equal pay for equal production and equal position. I think anybody that doesn't believe that, you don't have a brain. In other words, if a woman's doing the same thing a man's doing, she ought to be compensated the absolute same dollar. I believe that's absolutely true. But to say that women and men aren't different is to be oblivious to observation. Men and women are not alike. Thank God. I don't want Elizabeth to act like a man. That would be a boring house. Women, I'm just going to be straight up. We do not have your all's thinking pattern. You all think way too much for us. We don't think about the things y'all think about. Now, Jerry, since I'm in trouble, I want to bring a brother on in with me, all right? Now, watch this. Jerry,
there you go.
Does Rhonda...
Oh, no.
I mean...
Are you really going to get...
Yeah, I'm really in trouble. Now, watch this. You don't think about the things she thinks about, do you? I mean, you don't even pay attention to them.
Correct.
I mean, like, when she does her hair new, she goes, do you notice something different about me? We'll go. Yeah, we'll go. Did you get some new shoes? We'll mess that up. We think different. We talk different. We look at different moments differently. This is God's design, and I think it's beautiful. I want you to hear a word we got to embrace. It's called harmony. And I want to preach to this nation for a minute. Let me tell you what. All this political correctness jazz is because we don't understand harmony. We come from different cultures. We come from situations that are different. I would never look at a black man and say, I understand your story, because I don't understand your story. But hold on, he don't understand mine either. Well, that got it quiet, didn't it? But let me tell you where we come in harmony. It's in Christ. We all come together in Christ. And that's when we all are going to come together. We'll never come together in any other place except Christ. I'll prove it. Sociology hasn't achieved anything but division. Go check it. The only thing they can do is provide a reasonable discourse on why we are divided. Psychology can tell you why you're crazy, but it can't correct the situation. Now, there's a Christ that says, hold on, I want to invade. Yes, that's right. I want to invade your presence with mine. So now, what used to be diverse can be harmonized. If you take a group of different instruments that make different sounds, and you put them together, and you place them in harmony, guess what that's called? A symphony. And that's what the church ought to be. Everybody's got a little different groove going on. Everybody's got a little different pitch going on. And we harmonize all those differences so the world might hear the power of the resurrection. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I need your note. Tell them, I need your note. So hold on. Only about half of y'all agree with that? I don't care. It's the truth. Here's what I want you to know at Hillview. You got to get this attitude. Guess what? Every one of us has got something that God made. And I really need, I believe we got to grab this attitude. Mickey Lewis, you work with people that are messed up all the time. Amen. And you messed up too. Amen. Just like your pastor. He's messed up. But Jesus Christ is loving us with grace to heal us. Amen. Every Sunday, you all come here and listen to a messed up man saved by grace. And who, guess who I'm looking at? Bunch of messed up people with the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's be honest about it. Because you know what? I know some precious souls have walked into this church and they've gone, well, I'm wondering if the church is perfect. Let me help you. No. We showed up. And the moment we show up, we mess it up. Have y'all found that out? People have no time. Well, you know, there's hypocrites in the church. Good Lord, yeah. They go, you know, there's people that cuss at Hillview. I said, I know. I'm one up. I love this when people come to me and say, you know, there's somebody at Hillview that drank a beer. You reckon? I mean, there's several thousand people here. You reckon we got some people sneaking? Here's what I like at Hillview. They don't even sneak. They just say to the glory of God. It's time to get real about what it means to live in faith. Be in harmony with one another. Be in harmony with other churches. They got their purpose. Quit criticizing them. Let's quit knocking on each other. The world expects that. I tell you what they don't expect us to do is harmonize God's movement. And I'm talking to myself. I'm praising myself. Man, I have to really tighten up. Independent, fundamentalist, religious people irritate the fire out of me. But God said, I got to harmonize with them. And I'll say, Lord, I don't like them. And he'll go, and they don't like you. I said, yeah, they tell me all the time. But it's not about that. It's about us being in harmony. Does that make sense? Church, the more we let this church be in harmony with the Spirit of God, the more music of heaven you're going to hear. Isn't that cool? I love Christian that was baptized. I love that kid. He's full of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see somebody anointed of the Holy Spirit, it's that little boy named Christian. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He never lets up. He can tell you about a McDonald's hamburger and make it sound like a 16-ounce prime rib. He is anointed by God. Here's a kid. I said, Crystal, have you been to McDonald's? Christian, have you been to McDonald's? And he'll go, yes. And Pastor Steve, they gave me a toy. And he pauses after every word to let you know this is living. You see, but I just drive through. How many of y'all are driving through all the time in your life? And you're never pausing to be in harmony with each other. It's the special moments in life that make it happen. It's a cold glass of lemonade on a hot, humid day. That's a good drink from your granny. Is somebody caring enough to say hello that's never said hello before? Those moments harmonize the kingdom of God. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Now let me tell you, before you say you know what somebody else lived like, do some research. Be sympathetic. Now watch, sympathetic doesn't mean excuse ourselves. It means understand the grace of God. Amen? Yeah, I'll give you an example of this. We had one of these real kind of... You know, a lot of people think your outward actions make you holy. You know, they think if they don't smoke a cigarette, they're a little better than you. If they don't drink a beer, they're a little better than you. If they've never said a cuss word, they're a little better than you. Have any of y'all ever met that in our world here in Bowling Green? Well, we had this lady come to Hillview, and she goes, "Well, I tell you what, I'm never coming back to this church. I see people smoking on the premises, Pastor." Of course, she weighed 400 pounds. Somehow or another, there's an exemption in the kingdom of God to other things that kill us. Have you noticed that? We got things we let in, and we all got stuff, is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't want to offend anybody. I want all of us to be offended. We've all done stuff that kills us. That's why it tickles me so much. Like this, I used to have these preachers that had six chins telling me how addictions was killing everybody but them. They died of a heart attack at 50. We all got stuff. Amen? Somebody, are y'all okay? Some of y'all look shocked that I've gotten this honest. Here's what I'm saying. It's only the grace of God that saves us. It's not going to be, I'm better than you because I don't do this or I don't do that. No, we all come together in Christ. So that's why we need to be sympathetic. Anyway, this lady came in, she said, "I'm never coming back to this church. They are smoking cigarettes in the parking lot." Because when you're real holy, you got to have movements to go along with it. I said, "Let me tell you, honey, I rejoice in the Lord over them smoking cigarettes." She said, "What?" I said, "You have no idea what they've quit smoking." I said, "Let me tell you what. You are witnessing a miracle of grace because they are down to nicotine." Be sympathetic with each other's, stories. Why don't we celebrate those kind of things? I mean, we ought to celebrate, "Hey man, my bro ain't smoking dope anymore." We ought to celebrate it. Now, y'all don't act like none of you have ever smoked dope before. Y'all are all ducking and hiding right now. We've had some people at Hillview before smoke a joint. Not during worship or anything. Or at least that I'm aware of, okay? We'd probably figure that one out. All right, somebody fired one up in here. It smelled like a concert, all right? I mean, you got, It's a real world we live in, but we ought to celebrate. Watch this. I want to celebrate that people are getting better. That's being sympathetic to the story, that people can be saved. And here's what I want you to know. Only Jesus can save us. That's part of being sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do you understand that? Watch this. Only Christ can save us. And here's where we get real arrogant. I hear people do this all the time too. Watch this. "Well, the church needs to develop people. The Holy Spirit develops you." I can't develop you, and I will not be arrogant enough to say that I can. I can tell you about it. I can teach you about it. But I can't make you drink it. I can't make you live it. Only you. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm going to breathe in and I'm going to love. I'm going to be sympathetic. I'm going to be compassionate and humble." Look at this. "Sit down. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. I want you to know, we're walking out of here today, people of an inherited blessing. Now we ought to start living like it. Christians, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to call us out today. Those of you who follow Jesus Christ, start living as people of the blessing. I don't know about you, but I liked Christmas when I was a 9-year-old kid. I really loved it when I was 9. Now, I never bought into that stuff that it's better to give than receive. When I was 9 years old, it's better to receive, period. Any of y'all like that? Let's tell the truth. I never walked around 9 years old going, oh, this is what I have for you. I always thought about, what am I getting under the tree? Devin, don't let Devin use the same way. Don't be laughing at me. You 9 years old, what'd you think? I wanted my tricycle at 9. The brother be riding a big wheel to high school. What's up with this? Let's love the Lord. Look at here. Amen. Look. I'm going to embrace the compassion. I'm going to embrace the humility of God. What do we need to do with that? Be the people of a blessing. How many of you all are people of an inherited blessing? You're headed to heaven. Do you get it? If God ended it all today, you and I end up in heaven because of Jesus Christ. Not because we did something great, but because Jesus Christ's grace is greater than our dirty lives. Greater than our sin. Greater than our mistakes. Greater than our politics. Greater than our technology. Greater than our understanding and misunderstanding.
Amen.
God's grace. Live like you inherited a blessing, because you are. I don't know about y'all, but I kind of get in to be forgiven and going to heaven.
Amen.
You say, well, Pastor Steve, if you messed up, oh man. But you know what? I don't mess up as much as I used to. How many of y'all, you're improving on the mess up category? Guess what that's called? Sanctification. That's a big biblical word, because guess what the Holy Spirit's doing? Holy Spirit's in there, and you all got attitudes, and I got attitudes, and we got some rotten attitudes. How many of y'all got some rotten attitudes? And the Holy Spirit's in there taking out those rotten attitudes, that stinking thinking, and He's putting the inherited blessing that's already been given to you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and the inherited blessing is eventually getting in your thoughts, and when that gets in your thoughts, it changes every relationship you have with people. And now you're starting to live. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody getting this today?
Yeah.
Huh? God's trying to tell you how much He loves you today. And then guess what He says? Do live in the blessing. You're going to heaven. But I want to show you something. I think this is the mission of the church from here on out. Or at least our segment. Pastor Eric, I only know about our segment. We're in the 21st century. We got a segment. You know, they're telling me now we're going to run out of oil at 250. I hope y'all get something else. I plan on being dead by 250. So I'm going to be an oil burner till I die. But you know what? Some of y'all are going to get to be, you're going to run your car on grass. I'm talking yard grass. Who knows? Wouldn't that be cool? Just mow your yard, fill your truck up at the same time. Now you got somewhere to put your grass clippings. No, we got to have minds that are creating new things. We got to have minds that are creating new formulas. Isn't that cool? I bet there'll be a day where cars don't even touch the road. It'll be like the Jetsons. Can you imagine the wrecks we'll have then? Flying under the influence. Can you imagine that? See, it's a new world. But guess what? There's always a new world coming. This is what I'm trying to alert you to. Don't panic. Don't be going, oh no, the world is ending. The world is always ending. But here's the good news. The world is always beginning. I don't know about y'all, but when I got married, my single world ended. And my married world began. And if that hasn't happened to you, may it happen today. Because you got to leave and cleave. And then it was just Elizabeth and I, and that was really fun. And then our young married world ended and our parenting world began. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. and on. And eventually they leave the house. Your parenting still goes on, but they're gone. And eventually another one will leave the house. And Elizabeth and I look at each other and go, you know, if we had the energy, we could act like we did before. But instead we go, I wonder what our children are doing. See what I'm saying? And before too long, our eyes will close. Have we lived the blessing together? Man, I got to get with your heart, guys. Listen. Pastor Steve's burden. I don't believe I can change the world, but I know who has. That makes sense. So I can't sit idly. I got to be involved in society. I can't just step back and say, okay, we're going to sing here and sing Kumbaya and Just As I Am and Amazing Grace and wait for the good ship, gospel ship to come pick us up. That's not my philosophy because I don't believe it's the New Testament's philosophy. I believe we got to engage and let people know about Amazing Grace. And I think we got to shout to the Lord, not by the way we sing, but by the way we live. So does that make sense? And I think we got to allow compassion and humility and we got to look sympathetically at people's stories, but we also got to be truthful. See, we're not truthful anymore. We don't tell a young man when he starts whining, hold on, young man. You live in one of the few countries you get to go to the 12th grade free. So you better take advantage of that. Because if you don't, a blessed life's not staring you in the face. JT, you don't go to school, you don't finish up, guess what? It will be rough the rest of your days. And you're not going to let Pastor Steve, you don't understand, they'll send me a check. May not. What's going to happen when the checks are all dried up? Some will. And some will say, you know what? I'm going to learn how to live in harmony with my situation. I'm going to trust Christ with my story. I'm living toward an inherited blessing and I'm not letting go of that blessing no matter what. And I'm going to make sure some other people get better because they live next to me. I think that's the heartbeat of the church. So we got a lot of work to do. We got 20,000 university students to influence in the next two semesters. I hope we win every one of them to Jesus because we'll get a new load of about 2,000 of them next fall. I want y'all to get that kind of attitude. And I don't want you to ever tell Pastor Eric or Ben or any of those guys that work with y'all, well, it's just too big. You follow God. We got high schools, a whole bunch of them here. Guess what? Every one of those high schools ought to be influenced by Jesus Christ. Y'all are their ministers. Y'all eat their food. That's the place you live. And it doesn't last long, does it, Hemi? One moment you're in the seventh grade, and the next moment you're waking up and it's your senior year. The next moment you're married. Don't blink. Y'all know the song. Look at here. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. I want to give you some deceitful speech. This is blasphemy. I can't do it. That's deceitful speech. Finding an excuse to not prosper. That's a deceitful speech. Well, there's some new stuff, isn't it? Always finding a way out instead of a way through. That's deceitful speech. Because your speech ought to recognize your blessed position. You and I are headed to heaven. We have a job here to vibrate some of that heaven while we live on earth. We do that in the way we live. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, that's those who He has saved, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. How many of y'all need to get connected to Jesus, and you need to do it soon? Please receive Christ. Amen. Because He loves you. Amen? Amen? He loves you. And listen, I want to talk to some of my hard-headed brothers out here. Y'all know who you are. As soon as I said it, you went, "Hey, I'm one of them hard-headed brothers." I want to talk to the men first. Some of you men need to step up. You need to ask Jesus in your life. And listen, I know what you're doing. I'm a man. You come to church, and you've gotten a lot more regular. And you're trusting that your church attendance is the same as salvation. Now, your wife's a lot happier with you now, isn't she? She'll go, "Well, at least the dude will show up. He'll go to church with me, and things seem to be more balanced." No, I want you to get the truth. The truth is, you've got to square up with Jesus. You got to tell Jesus Christ, "I'm a man that has sinned, God. I don't stand in right relationship with you, but I want to stand with you. In fact, I want you to be in me. So, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and enter into my life." How many of y'all men know He'll do that? Amen. How many of you beautiful ladies know He'll do that in your life? Amen. Now, once that connection is made, all things become possible. I believe that. No matter what, it becomes possible. A lot of y'all come see us pastors and you've got a marriage problem. What's it? Not that you have to confess you've had a marriage problem, but if you've been married, you've had a marriage problem. Anybody tells you they've had a perfect marriage, they're on the verge of divorce. Or living in a fantasy. Or addicted to crack cocaine or something, okay? I mean, they're in a delusional state. We all have relational difficulties. That's reality. That's life. And you know what? Here's the first question I ask. A married couple comes in and I said, "Do both of you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?" And when they go, "Yes, we're both baptized believers in Jesus Christ," I said, "Good. Jesus can pull this one out." When they come and say, "Pastor Steve, we're not saved," then guess what? We don't have a shot of pulling that out. Because the only thing I have found, and I've done some experiments, that will change another human being is Jesus. Because think about this. Some of you are brilliant people out there. Here's what amazes me. How can brilliant people be so illogical? Okay, this would be the logic. "Pastor Eric, do we believe that all human beings are flawed in some dimension? Sin has flawed them." How many of y'all believe that? Okay, so if all human beings are flawed, even the human beings who've come up with good ideas have some flawedness, if you will, in the good idea. The only thing that will totally reconstruct us is Jesus, because He's not what? He's not flawed. And He will begin to reconstruct us. Does this make sense? Anybody got any questions? Y'all ready to get saved? Y'all ready to let Jesus do a great work in your life today? Y'all been beautiful. Just look at your neighbor and say, "You're beautiful." Even if you don't know them, tell them they're beautiful. I like it. See, Joe? She's believed that all this time. Now she's confessed it. Now, ain't that great? Alan, we pray for you all the time. I just want to let you know that with Kim. No, we love Kim. How many of y'all glad to love one another? Huh? It's okay to love one another. Tell your neighbor, it's okay to love each other. Come on, let them know this thing. Let's have a little church today. Have a little church today. Dwayne, I'm glad you're sitting here today, brother. I'm glad you're healed. I'm glad God's working through you. Amen? I'm glad you and your wife are still together. I'm glad that old motorcycle wreck didn't end it. Amen? Folks, this brother had a bad motorcycle wreck and he's sitting in church today. Tell me. Amen? Amen. See some real stuff. Now, I don't like to see motorcycle wrecks myself. He looked at me and he said, "You still riding your bike?" I said, "A few more visits like this and I may not be." This is about living, though. But listen, there's some people in here who need to get saved today. We came to church today to glorify God. I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope all you believers have been encouraged today. But guess what? We got some friends among us, fellow human beings, that need to be saved today. And so listen, I'm not getting on you. I'm waking you up. Right now, this ain't a time to start thinking about where you're going to eat. The last thing we need to do in America is eat. We've gotten that taken care of. What we don't have taken care of, man, listen, Hillview. Somebody in here doesn't know Jesus. I don't know who it is. It's none of my business. And God brought you here today to be saved. That's why you got that funny feeling going on with you right now. Some of you are going, what am I doing in church today? God wants to get the hell out of you. You know what I mean? He does. Some of y'all going, I can't believe you say hell like it. Well, what do you want, God? Does this make it feel better? Okay, you're going to Hades without Jesus. Did that comfort the trip? You know, there's hell in our lives. Things that are disobedient to God. And they keep us away from the blessing. And God wants to forgive us and love us. Now, let me tell you what happens here. You've got to confess and repent. We've all broken the Ten Commandments. Would you agree with that? Whether you hang them on the school or the courthouse, we still break them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many of y'all have done that? That's the one that Oprah got hung up on. She said she couldn't believe that God was a jealous God. Here's what she better believe. She better be thankful she's breathing. Because God isn't impressed that she's a billionaire. Because God's a kazillion, millionaire. I'm serious. Oprah and all of her arrogance. She's going to do one better than God. She's going to get everybody in Yankee Stadium with opposing theologies and totally different beliefs on supreme beings and supreme outcomes. And we're going to hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and the world is going to be healed. And even some of you in this room are foolish enough to believe it. After reams of history argue against that time and time again. You know what they believed at the turn of the 20th century? That we were going to be smart enough to have no more war. All the academics said, we'll solve this in the university. Germany had more PhDs than any location in the world. And it was taken over by an emotional leader that knew how to stir the common worker, and he turned their shovels into guns. Here's all that shows. Save ourselves? I think not. Lord, save us. There's the hope. So today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, you're real. I've sinned, and I would like to repent. Here's what repent means. I would like to live differently than I do now. So instead of being filled with hate, I'd like to be filled with what? Love. There you go. You got it. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. I believe you're real. What do you think God will do? He'll change it. How many of y'all believe this, that your sin is so special, if you ask God to forgive you, He's going to go, nah, not you. Or how many of y'all think the Holy Spirit's going, nah, I was just kidding on you. Brooks, you're exempt. I don't think He's going to do that, is He? Because here's what He said. Whosoever believes in Jesus as the Son of God will not perish, but will have eternal life. Stand with me. I want you to think about your fellow human being. And I don't want you to think about just your fellow human being sitting here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I want you to think about your fellow human being that lives in a terrified Iraq. An absolute controlled Iran. A very nervous Israel. A European Union of Nations that has left most of their history. An America in debate on many subjects. in a God who sits in heaven but lives on earth. A Jesus who sits in the right hand of power and through the power of the Holy Spirit roams the minds, the thoughts, and the hearts of humans in the 21st century. And He says this to us, whosoever. Is that you right now? Come on, I want you to pray for your brother and sister in here. If you've never been baptized today, man, come on, it's the day. If you've never asked Christ in your life, why not right now? Why don't we just get real? You say, well, Pastor Steve, am I going to quit everything I've been doing? I don't know. I'm asking you to receive Jesus because He's the only one that can change you anyway. Pastor Steve, does Jesus know who I've slept with? Yeah. And baby girl, let me tell you, He's going to put His hand under your chin. And He's going to lift you up and He's going to say, I do not condemn you. And He's going to say, go sin no more. No more. Man, a lot of us are getting better. I know I'm getting better. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I'm getting better. Thank you, Jesus. That's who I say, thank you, Jesus. But I know without Jesus, nothing's possible. So pray with me right now. Come on, people are going to get saved today. Some of you are going to come to be baptized today. Some of you just need to be touched today. How many of y'all have ever gone online? You just need to hit that refresh button every once in a while. Isn't it, that's one that spins like this. Refresh. Some of you need to come today to the altar and just say, God, refresh me with my purpose. Your purpose in me. Just refresh me. So come on right now. Lord, from the balcony to the back, to the middle, to the front, to the altar. You're all around this place, Lord. And Lord, right now, You're going to bring some people that know they need to be connected to You today. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I don't know their names, but You do. Lord, may they ask You right now to come into their lives, to forgive them of their sin. May they repent. Lord, would You draw those who have already been drawn to be saved, Father? Would You draw them to the altar? And Lord, just ask right now that they feel Your love. Oh, church, I just pray that y'all would be open to feeling the love of God right now. Just be open to feeling the love of God right now. Don't fear the love of God moving in this place right now. That's His power. Love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus. Some of you need to come. You need to be baptized. You need to seal that up. Ladies, look at that husband and say, honey, I'd love to be in unity with you. And we're not going to be in unity till we get in unity to Christ. Tell them the truth. And husbands, be a real man. Step up and say, you know what? I'm going to be forgiven and live for the Lord. I'm going to do everything I can to be the best manly man I can be. Come on, guys. Nobody goes to hell today. Amen. Nobody goes to hell today. Compliments of Jesus. Lord, this place is open. This altar is already filling up. I pray for healing today, God. I pray for people that are going to be having surgery. I pray for all the needs and wants and misunderstandings we have about life. God, I just pray that You move us at this altar today and we'd understand Your grace. Now, for just a few moments, I want you to either pray in your seats or pray at the altar, but I want you to pray that God move in people's lives. And if you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, come on. We got pastors that want to talk to you about it. If you know that you need to be baptized, I want you to come today and let God do that in your life. If you know the Holy Spirit's telling you something, don't hold back on that today. Amen? Don't hold back on that today. Lord, release folks today. People that have stood and ignored Your attention, bring them to attention today. Let the healing begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on.